Whole Hog Sports presents the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America, the premier Arkansas hoops podcast, brought to you by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. With Whole Hog Sports basketball analyst Scotty Bordelon, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Unless you have a team to root for, college basketball can kind of be unwatchable sometimes. Game isn't officiated real well, and we've talked about it in the past on this podcast, the spacing's not nearly as good as what you find in the NBA. You know, on a lot of levels, the college game could really be improved by moving to something that more resembles the NBA role-wise. But with that said, I think if you were just a fan of the game with no rooting interest, you would have loved the Arkansas-Kentucky game over the weekend at Bud Walton Arena. There weren't a ton of fouls called relative to most college games. And some of the nation's best players really went back and forth to create great television over the final 20 minutes or so. Can't imagine there have been many college games this year that have been more entertaining. For Arkansas, it's just another feather in the cap. The Razorbacks are on this great run over the last 7 or 8 weeks, especially over the last month, with wins over Auburn, Tennessee, Kentucky, and the Razorbacks have now won 13 of 14 going into the final week. They're still in contention to win an SEC regular season championship. Even if they lost their final two games plus the game in the SEC tournament, they would still be a lock to play in the NCAA tournament in March. Matt Jones with Bob Holt of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, Scotty Bordelon of WholeHogSports.com. And Scotty, that was as impressive a win for Arkansas this season, and that's saying something because they've had some pretty impressive wins to that point.
That was kind of what you were hoping for, you know, going into Bud Walton. You know, anytime you get Kentucky on your home floor, you know, a lot of people call it, you know, when Kentucky goes to a visiting arena, it's whoever's arena's Super Bowl. And some Kentucky fans were kind of yapping a little bit in the days leading up to the game that, you know, Kentucky was Arkansas' Super Bowl. Well, they're not even the highest ranked team that Arkansas's beaten in Bud Walton Arena. It was, like you mentioned, it was another feather in their cap, and another feather in the cap of JD Notae, who I think mentioned last week that if Oscar Tshiebwe didn't exist, Jalen Williams would be the SEC's best rebounder. And probably the best forward in the league. You know, if not for Tshiebwe, you know, I think JD might be most people's SEC player of the year. I mean, I just don't it's got to be those two guys to me. You know, Jabari Smith and Walker Kessler, they probably both have arguments too, you know, given that they're the top team in the league, you know, in terms of the standings. But JD has been as valuable, if not more valuable than any guy, to his team's success. And you just look at the last two games Arkansas played against top 10 teams in Bud Walton Arena. JD's averaging, you know, 29 points, 5.5 assists, and a couple steals. I mean, he's played his best ball in Arkansas's biggest games. And I think I don't know if I've been pushing for this, but I've been writing a lot about JD because I think his play deserves the recognition, and it's worthy of it. You know, he was masterful in pick and roll against Kentucky the other day. You know, he scored 11 times inside the arc. I think that's the second most he scored in a game this season other than Penn. I think he had 13. Didn't really have his three-point shot working, but he hit a couple deep ones early that kind of set the building off. He was terrific. And then obviously Jalen was remarkable in the second half. You know, we found out after the game he was sick at halftime. He was throwing up, and he had doctors kind of looking at him, and then he gets done throwing up into the trash can, turns around, he's like, all right, I'm good, let's go play. And then he scored 10 straight points in the second half, was really good, and finished with 16 and 12. He's just a double-double machine. Those two guys are obviously stars in this league, and they clearly played like it.
Bob, it kind of felt like some of the old school Arkansas-Kentucky matchups, back and forth right down to the wire, and I think that was as entertaining as any Arkansas-Kentucky game that I've seen since the two they played in 95 that were just, you know, absolute all-timers. The win by the Razorbacks on Super Bowl Sunday at Bud Walton, and then the win by Kentucky in the SEC Tournament Championship game at the Georgia Dome.
Yeah, it was so back and forth. And Arkansas jumped out, you know, 15-2 lead, and then Kentucky closed it to 6 by halftime. And then in the second half, you know, there were 16 lead changes, and most of it was, you know, back and forth, like possession by possession. And, you felt like Arkansas, I mean, it was a 2-point game, but that was, there was a 3-pointer at the buzzer that Kentucky hit. So you think, well, you know, Arkansas was up 75-70, so that was wasn't nip and tuck. But really, you know, Kentucky took their last lead. I think it was a little over a minute to go, you know, that three by Grady. And so, yeah, that definitely had a 1990s feel to it, and back and forth. And, you know, like I say, Arkansas got on a run, then Kentucky got on a good run coming out of the half. And it was extremely entertaining. I thought it was significant that Arkansas beat a Kentucky team that was back to full strength. You know, Ty Washington and Xavier Wheeler both played. They didn't shoot great. I'm sure they were a little rusty after not playing the last two games, but they combined for 24. So I thought that added to, I guess, the significance of Arkansas's win, is that you couldn't say, well, Kentucky was without two of their top guards. They did have those guys, and they played, you know, fairly well. And so I think that just makes it a more impressive victory for Arkansas, you know, than if those guys hadn't played.
Some notable numbers from the game: JD Notae, 30 points, 8 assists. As Scotty mentioned, maybe the best game he's had this year in terms of dishing out to his teammates, including some big assists late in the game. He had the assist to Jalen Williams that gave Arkansas the lead for good at 71-70. Jalen Williams finishes with 16 points and 12 rebounds. He had 10 consecutive points for Arkansas at a really critical stretch in the second half when the game was really going back and forth. And like I said, he had the shot that put them up for good, also made a couple of free throws to give Arkansas a 3-point lead. And what can you say about Oscar Tshiebwe for Kentucky? 30 points, 18 rebounds. Actually feels to me like he left some points and rebounds out on the court, if that's even possible. Just incredible. Although it was weird, Bob, to hear Brad Nessler on the CBS broadcast keep referring him as Big O in a game played in Fayetteville.
Yeah, I guess I'm so old. When I think of the Big O, I think Oscar Robertson. And, of course, you know, Oliver Miller got that nickname, the Big O, here. And I guess they're kind of similar in that they both are 6'9", and, you know, pretty hefty. And Oliver Miller was a really good rebounder. But what I guess remember most about him was he was just such a good passer. In a lot of ways, Jalen's passing for a big man reminds me of Oliver Miller. Just good hands around the basket, soft hands for getting interior passes and finishing. And yeah, watching some of the replays, look like Tshiebwe got away with some pushing under there. But like I said, I'm glad there weren't a lot of fouls called. You know, I thought, you know, it was a pretty physical game. And I think Arkansas took 17 free throws. Kentucky took 13. So it wasn't like, you know, nobody really wants to see a free throw shooting contest with two teams like that play, or probably would anybody play. So I thought it was called pretty well. And but yeah, there's, you know, different style players, obviously JD and Oscar, but both, you know, they're really the SEC's marquee players. You know, both are, like Scotty said, they're competing for that player of the year and probably get some All-American honors, I would think, as well.
I thought it was good that the officials kind of called the game on the interior. Like, everybody in the building wanted to watch Tshiebwe and Jalen. Like, there were a couple, you know, maybe questionable ticky-tack, push-in-the-back type calls in the game. But for the most part, they just kind of let them battle. And that was that kind of added to the fun of the whole day. It was like you knew either Jalen was going to grab a rebound or you knew Oscar Tshiebwe was going to grab a rebound. And just if you focused on those guys after a shot went up, it was some of the most entertaining basketball I've watched in a long time. And neither one of the guys had the ball when all the fun was happening. And, you know, I thought Jalen, you know, did a, you know, Tshiebwe goes for 30 and 18. And I think you can still say that Jalen, you know, played him fairly well. I charted shots defended for Arkansas players this morning, and Jalen was, or Kentucky shot 7 of 15 against Jalen in the game. And a lot of that was Tshiebwe, you know, looking at nearly 50%. But when, you know, Jalen's primary matchup is the most dominant rebounding force that college basketball has seen in a long time, that's, you know, that's not too bad. And he's taken a majority of his shots inside the restricted area, or, you know, a step outside of it. I think Jalen did a pretty good job, you know, maybe 4 or 5 times of just kind of baiting Tshiebwe into that mid-range jumper from around the free throw line. And I think he knocked down his first one, gave him some irrational confidence to keep chunking up a couple more. And that helped Arkansas, you know, because Shibway's not really much of a threat off the dribble. So Jalen was going to, he was more than happy to live with some of those elbow jumpers.
I think he hit one and then he missed the next three and he's out there, you know, 15, 16 feet from the basket. If you're Arkansas, that's exactly where you want him. You don't want him in the lane. But then, you know, then he got back to his game, which was, you know, being dominant inside.
I thought Seaboy was the most impressive player that I've seen come through Bud Walton this season, without a doubt. Maybe the national player of the year based on the numbers that he's putting up. Like Scotty said, just don't see a lot of players put up the rebounding totals that he's put up this season. Bob mentioned that Kentucky was at full strength. Ty Washington and Sevier Wheeler played. It was their first game since they were injured February 15th at Tennessee. Neither started the game, but they both end up in double digits. Washington ends up with 10 points. Wheeler ends up with 14. So, Scotty, it's not only that they played, but they played pretty well for the Wildcats.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they're the engineers of Kentucky's pace. I mean, you look at Sevier Wheeler, you know, when he's one of the faster players, you know, probably in the country in terms of pushing the ball up the floor. And what his, you know, his transition offense and his pushing the ball, what that does is that can get defenses cross-matched. And we saw that a couple times on Saturday where, you know, he just kind of weaves in and out of traffic between Arkansas defenders. And then at that point, Arkansas defenders are trying to figure out who's got him. And so maybe two guys run at him. And then when sometimes he can kind of loop back, he can drive baseline, kind of loop back around the rim, kind of like Steve Nash used to do a little bit. And he hit Oscar Tshiebwe for some buckets that way. Ty Washington's just, he's awesome. I'm still not sure that he's, you know, at full strength, because when he was, I thought he was one of the better players I'd watched, you know, at the guard position when Kentucky went to Auburn. And then, you know, when Kentucky lost Ty Washington at Auburn, that game completely flipped on its head. Like he's such an impactful player for them. But I thought Arkansas did a pretty good job, at least early on those guys. I think they started like maybe 2 of 10, 2 of 9 from the floor. And you could see a little bit of rust on both of those guys. Like Wheeler came in his first two touches, I think he turned the ball over. Arkansas was more than willing to let Sevier Wheeler shoot the ball from 3-2. JD Notte gave up a couple threes in the game. I think both of them were to Wheeler, and he banked one of them in. It's just kind of one of those deals. You'd rather have Wheeler shoot it than say a Kellen Grady, and they really limited him a lot. But good win for Arkansas, considering that, you know, neither one of those guys, like you said, they started, but they still played starter minutes. So, you know, nobody can go back and look at the box score and knock Arkansas for that win.
Arkansas improved to 16-1 this year at Bud Walton Arena. It's hard to believe that with all of the teams they've had come through, Tennessee, Kentucky, Auburn, they play LSU on Wednesday night, that it was Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt is the only team that has beaten Arkansas in Fayetteville this season. I think if you would have asked people before the season, if Arkansas finishes 17-1, who's the only team that beat them? I don't know that anybody would have picked Jerry Stackhouse and the Commodores, but that's the way that it could turn out if the Razorbacks beat LSU on Wednesday night. And we'll talk more about that game and the game coming up against Tennessee here in a little bit. But Bob, they are now 15-8 all time against top 10 teams at Bud Walton. They've won three such matchups the last two seasons, beat Alabama last year, beat Auburn when they were number one earlier this year, and now Kentucky when Kentucky was ranked sixth, Kentucky number seven in the new AP poll, Arkansas 14th, by the way. To me, you know, you think about recruiting now, and it's such a – I think recruiting is done so much by social media, and social media is such a you know, it's based around moments. And when you've got the moments like the, you know, the students rushing the floor against Auburn, or you've got the moments where I don't know what his name is. I know he goes by Scuba Steve on Twitter, you know, where you see him with his shirt off going crazy at the end of the Kentucky game. And you see these big wins that they're having at home. It just seems to me like there's always been this aura about Bud Walton Arena, but maybe it's grown a little bit this year with the types of games they've had. And I have to believe that's going to help Eric Musselman and his staff recruit, you know, well into 2024, 2025 and the classes beyond.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, Bud Walton is kind of back to being what it was when it first opened. And that was, you know, Arkansas was at its apex, winning the national championship the first year it opened, and, you know, going back to the title game the next year and having, you know, really good teams through the 90s. Some better than others. Obviously, no, nobody was better than those 94 and 95 teams. But And you saw, you know, we saw, you know, and Nick Smith and Jordan Walsh, two of their McDonald's All-American signees were at the game and led the crowd in the hog call during a timeout. You know, they basically got the same treatment as like the NBA Hawks. And so, and I know they had recruits in, and yeah, I think when you're in that atmosphere and you see how well Arkansas is playing, and you know, if you're in the student section or whatever, it would be really hard not to get caught up in the excitement, the enthusiasm. And Eric, even with his sling, you know, going crazy, exhorting the fans after the game. And, you know, it reminds me, I remember when Arkansas, the one time Kentucky came into Barnhill Arena, it was in 93, and Arkansas was really good that year. That's when Corliss and Scotty were freshmen, but Corliss missed the first part of the season. Arkansas was not ranked going into that season. They upset Memphis to start the year and got ranked. But I remember Kentucky came in, they were ranked second, I think, or third. And I remember the Hog Wild Band, Jim Rapkin, they played the theme song from The Godfather when Fatino walked in. He didn't like that very much. But Arkansas beat him, and I can still remember. Of course, that's when we were down on the floor. And Nolan Richardson, you know, going to the crowd like that afterwards, the crowd behind the bench was just going, you know, crazy. And, of course, that was Barnhill, and that was 9,000, not 20,000. But, you know, I think that, yeah, that sixth man, whatever you want to call it, is definitely back for Arkansas. I can remember during some of the 2000s, some riders from out of town would come in. Crowds wouldn't be that great. And they just expressed shock to me, like, my God, what has happened? And I said, well, have you looked at their records the last few years? And, you know, I think Arkansas has got really good, loyal fans, but they're not, it's not blind loyalty. They don't want to go see a bad product. Who does? It's like, if you go to a restaurant and the meal's not very good, you're probably not going back. So you had, you know, fans were still showing up, and a lot of places would probably like to have had those crowds, even when they weren't good crowds by Arkansas standards. But you know, they've really kind of come back from a tough spot where they were for a lot of years. Had some good seasons in there, but now you really feel like Eric Musselman, with the recruiting he's doing, that he can sustain this kind of success and take him to an even higher level.
It feels like, you know, whoever they play at this point in that arena, they're going to beat them. I mean, they were a 2-point favorite to beat Kentucky, who was ranked 12 places higher ahead of them in the AP poll. And it didn't feel like an upset when they beat Kentucky on Saturday.
No, it really didn't. And I've talked about it probably on the last 4 or 5 podcasts since Arkansas has been on this run of 13 wins in the last 14 games. But at this point, I'd give Arkansas a really good chance to win any game now. Like, they're tough enough to at least compete and be in the game at the end. And they're also, you know, good enough that, you know, if the opponent doesn't bring it, that they can absolutely run them out of their own building if they play well. But, you know, the to your point about the Bud Walton Arena crowds, like, it's been awesome, like, the last couple of months. And I even go back to when Arkansas beat Missouri back on January 12th. Like, Arkansas had lost 5 out of its last 6 games. They were 0-3 in the conference. And there was a pretty good crowd that showed up that night. And Arkansas obviously put on a show, and the crowd was incredible, I thought, that night. And it seems like it's just gotten, like, everything kind of reached it. Obviously, I think it peaked during the Auburn game. But one of the things that I like to do after big home games is go back, you know, and look through the photos that our photographers get from these games, because they're so, so good at capturing, like, the big moments and the celebrations and the big shows of emotion and that kind of thing. And in these last several home games, especially, I think, in February, I mean, because you had Auburn, Tennessee, and Kentucky at home, like, those are three huge opponents. The crowd showed out. The players kind of – they really met the moment with their play. And then you kind of saw the two kind of collide a little bit, where the players and the fans are enjoying it with each other. And you see some pictures in, like, 3 games last month that, you know, sometimes you can go 10 years and not, you know, have those kinds of experiences, those kinds of pictures and moments and shots that – you know, are going to last a really long time. So going to Bud Walton Arena now, I just expect, you know, a really, 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 really good atmosphere. I expect Arkansas to play well. I expect them to win. And the crowd obviously plays a big part in that. But Arkansas has given its home fans a lot of reason to cheer, you know, over the last 14 games.
I go back to that top 10 record against teams at Bud Walton Arena, 15-8. all time against top 10 teams. It's incredible. One more note here before we move on and talk about the upcoming week with Arkansas still in the SEC race. I had somebody this week who I really value their opinion, and there's been all this talk about Bud Walton versus Barnhill, you know, which place was louder, which place was, and he made a great point. He said, I think Bud Walton Arena is louder. I think Barnhill Arena was more intimate and intimidating. Bob, you've covered a lot of games in both arenas. What are your thoughts as you compare the two arenas? Both obviously great home court advantages for the Razorbacks.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Barnhill's, you know, the capacity was a little over 9,000, maybe 9,100. But the fans were just on top of you, even though those seats at the top just went way up there. But I guess I've always been kind of partial to Barnhill. I'm not saying they shouldn't have changed because obviously, you know, you couldn't have put skyboxes in Barnhill. You can get twice as many fans in Walton that they needed to go. And Walton's a great home court advantage, and it obviously has a lot of the modern conveniences and all that. But I guess when I've never seen a game in Cameron Indoor Stadium, but I've visited that campus a couple times in the summer and had a chance to just go inside. It kind of had that same feel to it to me. This, you can imagine those students, or Gallagher Ibe is kind of like that over at Oklahoma State, you know, Stillwater. And they expanded that by literally raising the roof, you know, which was kind of crazy. But I don't know. I guess I'll never, and maybe this is just nostalgia on my part, because obviously I haven't played in Barnhill in, you know, practically 30 years. But to me, there was just nothing quite like Barnhill. But Walton Arena is obviously a great home court advantage as well.
Jim Count said there was nothing like coming up the steps in Barnhill. He said your heart would start beating real fast as you'd hear the crowd start to roar. Arkansas is so great at Barnhill Arena under Eddie Sutton and Nolan Richardson. The Basketball Podcast of Mid-America is brought to you by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. Visit their showroom at 411 South Metro Parkway in Rogers or online at LandersToyotaNWA.com.
For all your automotive needs, shop Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers, where we guarantee you the best buying experience and best service after the sale in Arkansas. Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Two games left in the regular season for all teams in the SEC, and going into the final week, one game separates the top four teams in the standings. Auburn is 13-3, and then there's a three-way tie for second place between Arkansas, Kentucky, and Tennessee with records of 12-4 in the SEC. Over the final week, Auburn plays at Mississippi State and then hosts South Carolina. Arkansas, the toughest schedule, I think, of the four teams, has LSU coming to Bud Walton on Wednesday night. Then they go to Tennessee to play an early game Saturday. Kentucky hosts Ole Miss before ending the season at Florida. And Tennessee hosts Georgia before the game against the Razorbacks. Arkansas obviously has beaten all of those teams, so if there are ties that come into play, Arkansas holds some tiebreakers. All four of those teams have clinched the top four seeds at the SEC tournament in Tampa. But for Arkansas, Scotty, they've got a real chance here to claim an SEC regular season championship, which they haven't done since the Corliss Williamson years. And I don't know that anybody would have seen that coming after the 0-3 start, especially given who the 0-3 start was against. They need some help. They need Auburn to lose. But, you know, as long as Auburn keeps going into these arenas and dancing on the mid-court logo at the start of the game, I mean, they nearly lost at Missouri. They nearly lost at Georgia. They lost at Tennessee. They lost at Arkansas. They've lost at Florida. Mississippi State, the hump, that's no slouch of an arena. Arkansas lost there earlier this season. That's really the game to me that's going to be the key to whether Arkansas can get into position on Saturday to win the SEC championship. And, of course, Arkansas has to take care of business with a couple of revenge games.
Well, this isn't an Auburn and Mississippi State podcast, but I think Auburn's problem, like, yeah, I mean, they even dance on their own logo sometimes. I think it's kind of something fun that opposing teams like to kind of latch on. I think their biggest problem is, like, they've got a couple guards and Katie Johnson and Wendell Green who think they're Jabari Smith when they're not, but they have a teammate named Jabari Smith, so they need to pass the ball to more to get more shots, because he's a freak. But I think you're right about that Mississippi State game. That's a big one. Me and Bob were walking back to my truck the other day, and we're talking about Auburn's upcoming schedule, and I think it's Mississippi State, maybe it's South Carolina, maybe to finish. And Mississippi State, to me, has been a team all year that I just don't understand how they're not better than they are. I mean, you got Iverson Molinar, who I think a lot of people would consider one of the better guards in the league. But when Tolu Smith is healthy, like, he can beat a team single-handedly, pretty much did. When Arkansas went to Starkville. And then they've got just other really solid front court guys like DJ Jeffries, Garrison Brooks. I just can't figure out how they're not better. But I mean, Auburn is, you know, they're susceptible to slip ups on the road, but I think Arkansas's got a really good opportunity to, you know, just continue to play well. And, you know, I don't know that they control their own destiny, but they're just going to focus on, at this point, I'm certain that they're focused on the next game. And then after the LSU game, they'll focus on Tennessee. And they've been really good at, you know, like after they lost or after they beat Auburn, they turned their attention really quick to Alabama. Like, they didn't play great at Alabama, but they gave themselves a shot to win. You know, they're really good at rebounding from these big games that they've played in and recentering themselves, refocusing. And going in and giving themselves a shot to win. You know, LSU's still one of the top five defenses in the country. Like, they've struggled this year because they're one of the worst offensive teams in SEC play, at least. And Tennessee's going to be really tough too. I don't think Tennessee's lost at home this year. They've beaten Kentucky and just beat Auburn and Thompson Bowling. So that's going to be a pretty raucous atmosphere. I can't imagine what that scene there is going to be like. Like, that's a heck of a way to cap a regular season if you're Arkansas. So, big week coming up, but, you know, I give Arkansas a chance in any of these games the way that they're playing.
Of course, Arkansas beat Tennessee and LSU earlier this season, Bob. The big difference with LSU coming to Bud Walton on Wednesday night is it looks like Xavier Pinson will play for him. He didn't play in that earlier game in Baton Rouge. Now, Arkansas, they've also got Eric Musselman with them. He didn't coach that game in Baton Rouge, so maybe that evens out a little bit.
Yeah, LSU, they really struggled with when Pinson was out. I think maybe they've only lost once or twice when he's been able to be in the lineup, and they're 20-9, so I think they struggled without him. That's a no-brainer. But, yeah, this will be a good chance for Arkansas to sweep because they've been really, really good at home. But LSU's got a lot of talent. They're kind of a weird team to figure out sometimes, too. It's funny. They used to be a great offensive team that wouldn't play defense. Although, like you said, now they're a really elite defensive team. You know, they're probably – Arkansas and LSU are arguably the two best defensive teams in the league. I mean, they're obviously – Tennessee's really good and Kentucky's really good, too. But you know, so it might be a tough grind it out. You know, similar to Tennessee, the score might be in the 60s. I mean, when Arkansas won down in Baton Rouge, it was 65-58. You know, that they held LSU under 60. Well, like I say, Pinson didn't play. Eric wasn't there either. I know Eric won't be out there on the court guarding Pinson, probably. he may want to. But and it'll be interesting to see if Eric wears the sling. That was a big question after the game the other day. He medically has been cleared not to have to wear it, but he said – maybe semi-seriously, semi-joking that his two bosses, you know, his wife Danielle and Hunter Yurchek, the AD, told him, you know, advised him to continue wearing it, you know, because you're superstitious. It's like if you're if you're winning, you don't change your socks, right? Or something, you know, maybe they might start smelling bad or whatever. So it'll be interesting, but I think it'll be a really good game. You know, LSU's, I think they're pretty safely in the NCAA tournament. Their net's like 18. They've got a better net than Arkansas, which doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. They've had some good wins early on their home court, like Kentucky and Tennessee, and they won at Florida. That was a good win. But, I think it's going to be a good game, and it'll probably be kind of a tough defensive struggle, like similar to what Tennessee was, several days ago.
Arkansas didn't have Kamani Johnson when they won in Baton Rouge. That's a key in this game, I think. Johnson's been giving Arkansas pretty good minutes in most of the games he plays. Scotty, to me, this LSU game feels like a really good test of Arkansas's mettle, I guess, if you will. You got a team who's going to be really focused coming in, wanting to win that game. But if you're Arkansas, this is a must-win game in order to stay in the SEC race. In some respects, I think it's maybe a good precursor to the type of pressure and challenge that they're going to feel whenever they play in the NCAA tournament here in a few weeks.
Yeah, I think you're right. And you mentioned that, and it made me think back to last year when Arkansas was going through this stretch where they hosted Florida, Alabama, and LSU. And, you know, Arkansas beat Florida pretty handily. And then, you know, I think they were supposed to go to Texas A&M. That game got called off, so they had some extra time to prep for Alabama. They win that game, and then Arkansas turns around just a few days later and plays LSU at home. And it's a tough, physical, grinded-out game. You know, but Arkansas was up for it. And I just keep going back to, like, Eric is – if I've learned anything from Eric covering him the last few years, it's that every game takes on its own identity. And it's that he's going to tell his guys to focus on the next game and the next game only, and to flush the last game, whether you won it or you lost it. You know, you might focus a little bit more on the previous game than the couple days after it if you lost. But, you know, they're riding high right now. The thing is, like, he's pretty good at telling those guys to just, like, you were good over the weekend, but it doesn't mean anything going into this next week. And you know, LSU is going to be really tough. Like, they're really good defensively. And having Xavier Pinson back, you know, he gave Arkansas fits when he was at Missouri. Like, I think he averaged something like 15 or 17 points a game in the games that he played against Arkansas. And to Bob's point earlier, like, they are not a team that doesn't have any talent. Like, they've got, I think Efton Reed is a projected, you know, pick in the upcoming draft. And they've got a talented freshman, Brandon Murray. Like, they've got guys all over the place. So they'll have to be ready. And they absolutely will have their mettle tested. This is a team that's just so tough. And you get a guy like Kamani Johnson back for this game. I think he's played really well. I remember I wrote a couple of weeks ago, he's really looked the part of a, you know, kind of an ideal backup big for Jalen Williams when he needs a breather. And he was awesome, I thought, in the minutes that he played against Kentucky. He's physical, and he's just got a kind of, like, some guys can read the ball off the rim and rebound really well that way. Kamani is really good about slipping in inside of opposing bigs and getting box out position, you know, getting boards that way. And he can also draw some over the back fouls too. And he's not afraid to mix it up with anybody, you know, even though he is a little bit undersized. So I'm expecting a really good game. Another tough game that, you know, probably be decided in the last 10 minutes.
Real quick, NCAA tournament seeding is obviously a big discussion right now. Arkansas, what do you think their ceiling is, Bob?
I would say probably a 3 seed, which they were last year. I mean, if they were to, you know, win out, like win at Tennessee, and Tennessee is undefeated, and, you know, Arizona couldn't win there, Kentucky couldn't win there, a lot of good teams couldn't win there. So if Arkansas were to take care of LSU and then go win at Tennessee, that would be just a monster win. And then if they go win the SEC tournament, then I think their ceiling might be a 2 seed, because they'd be like, what, 28-6 or something? They would have won 18 out of 19. They would have. So I would say, and I'm not saying they're going to win both games this week and then win the SEC tournament, but if that were to happen, I think they could probably rise as high as a 2. And I think if they beat LSU and lose to Tennessee and you know, win a game or two in Tampa, that I could see him being a four seed. And I'd say realistically, their ceiling's probably a three seed. But I think they're going to be a three seed. I mean, no, probably no higher than a three, no lower than a five. I think they're going to be in their 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, just looking at some of Joe Lunardi's projections lately, like he's not, it doesn't feel like he's given Arkansas a whole lot of love for the run that they've been on. I think he's still got them like in that five range right now, and there's always still some pretty meaningful games that can help your resume. You could rise up a line or two that way.
Remember, if you're a top four seed, the selection committee tries to give you a little bit more preference in terms of location. There is a first weekend regional, if you will, in Fort Worth at the new Dickies Arena. So Arkansas, that would probably be the ideal placement for them. Next closest to Fayetteville would be Indianapolis. After that, it's a plane trip everywhere to go play on that first weekend in the NCAA tournament. Two more games left for the Razorbacks during the regular season. Wednesday night against LSU, it's an 8 o'clock tip-off on ESPN2, and Saturday morning at Tennessee, an 11 a.m. tip-off on ESPN. Come to WholeHogSports.com before, during, and after the games for all of our Razorback basketball coverage. It's also baseball season, and the number 6 Arkansas baseball team is coming off a 2-1 weekend at the Round Rock Classic later this week. Bubba Carpenter and I will have the latest Whole Hog Baseball podcast. Lots of Razorback baseball coverage as well at WholeHogSports.com. For Bob Holt, Scotty Bordelon, I'm Matt Jones, and we'll see you again next week as the basketball podcast of Mid-America rolls into the postseason.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.